The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.
Welcome back to The Grillin' Guys. It's Saturday morning. You're on 107.3 WBBL. And we're going to go live in a minute here to a gentleman that I had an opportunity to have some of his food this past weekend. One of my buddies, actually the guy that did the logo for The Grillin' Guys and did the wrap for the side of our truck, a guy named Greg Palazzolo, turned 50. And Greg had me over and had this guy, he calls himself the Borrowed Chef. He actually is the chef down at Republic in Rockwell, but he does a little bit of private party stuff. And he made some just unbelievable dishes and used a little tabletop grill that he got in Guatemala that he actually grilled some chorizo. So that fits right in with our Mardi Gras theme.
Me some chorizo.
And he also did a deal with, we had a cow leg bone. And we he grilled it, and we took the marrow and put it on butter. So we're going to go live to Peter Davidson. Peter, are you there?
Hey, yeah, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Hey, I was just telling the listeners about the wonderful stuff you were making at Palazzolo's house this past weekend. But I'm interested, before we get into the recipes, what was that little pig grill that you had on top? Tell us about that.
It's actually Portuguese.
Okay.
They used it in the fields to make their lunch. They would make the little pigs at their homes and make sausage, and then the guys would go out to work in the fields, and that was their little grill that they would use.
So this thing was about the size of maybe a piece of paper. It wasn't much longer than that, and it was just had four little legs. It was fashioned to look like a pig, but the back of it was open, and it had three or four little grates across it in ceramic. And what did you fire that with?
I used just rubbing alcohol.
Okay, does that burn hot enough to cook with?
Yeah. I mean, you know, with the chorizo, we're just kind of crisping it up. I'd actually had cooked hot dogs on it before because we did run out of chorizo at my house one time. So we threw some hot dogs on there, and it worked out well for that, too.
Yeah, we're going to have a picture of that on our website. That's thegrillingguys.com. Check that out. It's just a little grill, but I thought it was very interesting. It was a complete surprise to me. You just showed up with that thing, threw it on the tabletop, and it was cool. And you'll see the pictures of it. Tongs coming in as he's turning the chorizo and things. It was cool. But the thing that really was off the hook in my mind was I walked in there, and you had a dish covered with bone, and it just looked like cross-section piece of leg bone. Tell me about that. What kind of bone was that?
It was a beef bone. It's usually the front, the shin, I guess, or you call it, and they cut it into, you know, those were somewhere about an inch, some were 2 inches. Then we just roasted them up in the oven. And the God's butter is what it's referred to, and I don't think you'll disagree with that. It was quite delicious.
We're talking here to Chef Peter Davidson, the Borrowed Chef on The Grillin' Guys every single Saturday morning here on 107.3 WBBL-FM from 9 until 11. And, Chef, I got to know, as a longtime carnivore and a guy that's basically unafraid to eat anything you put in front of me, I've never heard of this. Where did you get the idea from this? Where did you first have it? Who taught you the technique?
Actually, I've seen it more and more on the Anthony Bourdain and the Food Network. You know, the chefs are going back to that. You know, it's as old as cooking is. You know, people, well, what do you think that tastes like? Let's give it a whirl. It's a pretty classic dish. Typically served with the parsley salad that we put on it with a little, you know, vinegar to cut through the richness of the pure cartilage and fat that is, you know, in the bone, and you just smear down a little bread, and yeah, that's pretty classic.
What did you now? I noticed there was some seasoning on top of it while it was sitting there, it was kind of like coming to room temperature, wasn't it? Before you put it under the broiler.
Yeah, just salt and pepper. It's salt and pepper is all it needs.
Well, we're going to have a picture of this on the website, too, so you guys can check this out. It doesn't sound like it was a terribly technical preparation, but I'm going to tell you, I'd never had it. Michael says he's never had it either, but I would definitely have this again. I think you got to brace the ladies if you're coming over. I know that my wife walked up there and saw a bunch of bones laying on the grill sheet, and they're like, what are we going to do with that? Very apprehensive about taking the first bite of it. But, you know, you got to man up sometimes and show them how to do it. And after I took a bite and didn't cack, you know, they were all in.
It's always an important first step. Yeah. Well, he didn't vomit through his nose. Must be okay.
Yeah. It was absolutely good.
Now, Chef, is this something that somebody could do at home? Is it you make it sound simple, but I've found in my experience that chefs make a lot of stuff sound simple, and then I burn half my kitchen down trying to simulate what you've done. Is this something that people could do at home? Can you get the bones that you need? Can you find the cuts of leg bone? Are you going to end up on a federal watch list if you go ask for this stuff? I mean, how's it work?
No, absolutely. You can, I mean, it really is just that easy. I think we, had the oven at 350, and we roasted them for, you know, half hour or so. And, yeah, I mean, any local butcher should be able to get these bones for you if you ask. I got mine through Sobey Meats, who's a good friend of mine, and he always has or can get, you know, those sorts of cuts of meat. You know, you can get different things, too.
Yeah, we've actually had Tim Sobey on the show, and he is a guy that he has an incredible butcher shop, and we've noticed that as well. He does. He has things that most other places don't, and he puts out a great product. So we're familiar with Tim as well. He's a great, great butcher in the area.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a lot of real butchers, I don't know if you could go to a major chain and get the, you know, the bone marrow, but I know the small hometown guys would probably have it without a problem or could get it quite easily.
Well, yeah, and the good news is Timmy's a guy in my neighborhood, and he's not going to look at me weird if I come in looking for that stuff, because I've gone in there looking for weirder things than that. And really appreciate you taking the time this morning, Chef. We're talking here to Peter Davidson, the Borrowed Chef, dropping knowledge on how to make bone marrow butter, because nothing says I'm a dude like, hey, why don't you try some bone marrow? We appreciate it, man. Thanks so much for your time.
Hey, Peter, I appreciate it.
All right, there you go. That is Chef Peter Davidson joining us on The Grilling Guys every single Saturday morning from 9 until 11, trying to keep your man card, make sure that you've got all the knowledge that you need, not just to grill, but to introduce something even more more dramatic.
Speaking of your man card, a favorite segment of mine that we have every week on the show is our man law. And playing up the Mardi Gras theme as we are today, I've actually got two man laws. I got a Mardi Gras version, and I got a regular man law version. And we'll start with the man law version first.
Now you're a man! A man, 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 man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Wives and girlfriends may not store items other than beer or raw meat in the garage fridge. It's only for meat and beer.
It's only for guy stuff. Let's just be honest. Ladies, there are only a few spots in the home that your man gets to call his. You know what they are because you define them. You outline them. You said you're allowed here, not here. If he puts a fridge in the garage, leave it alone. If it's full of anchovies and cans of light beer, so be it. Don't mess with it. Don't go putting things in it. I don't want to see a box of baking soda flying around. No, and there better not be any ice cream in the freezer. Nothing. If it's empty, leave it empty. Let it run.
That's right.
It's one of the only things we have, man. It's one of the only things we got. Come on.
Yeah. So, man law. That's man law number 73. The Mardi Gras version. Gentlemen, the bigger the show, the bigger the beads. So if you're doing this locally at a parade or you're down on Bourbon Street down there, just remember that you got a whole armload of beads. The bigger the show, the bigger the beads you're going to throw.
And that should just go without saying, really. If I have to explain the bead thing to you, well, I can't explain the bead thing to you, not on the radio. Google it. You'll understand the bead thing, and that man law will make a lot more sense.
Yeah, you know, the Borrowed Chef was just on, Peter there, talking about the bone marrow butter. One of the things that we're always interested in is finding the gadgets or items that'll help us with our grilling. And I tell you what, one of the things that's often overlooked is a good set of grilling gloves. And what I mean by that is it's a neoprene, temperature-protected glove that you can put on. They're easily washed. They're not cotton. They're a rubber glove, but they're insulated because when we're smoking meat, or we're grilling meat, there are times you just got to get in with your hands. You can't use a set of tongs, and you got to get in with the hands, and you don't want to get burned. You don't want to cross-contaminate when you've been handing stuff. So the rubber gloves, guys, as a gadget, make sure you get a pair. You can get them in a lot of places around. You can get them online. There's nothing special with them, but I would tell you one thing is try to get them with a little bit of a non-slip palm on them, because when you're dealing with cooking meat, there's oftentimes a little bit of slipperiness going on, and you don't want to drop your project on the ground.
It'll also save you money, oddly enough, in hooded sweatshirts. I have one at this point. It is dedicated. It is my grilling sweatshirt. My wife absolutely recoils in horror every time I put it on. It is stained literally everywhere. I've got one armpit completely ripped out of it because I have many times not heeded that solid advice to use gloves, and I end up in there with my bare hands, and you do that, trying to turn stuff around by hand on your own. And you, you end up with stuff all over your hands. And then I've got this sweatshirt that I turn it into a wearable napkin. It's basically a giant apron, and I just wipe my hands off on it. Don't do that. Don't be that guy. Trust me. My wife would tell you it's not good to be that guy. Don't be that guy.
You know, it's Mardi Gras time, and as we look across the drink menus that are out there, you know, once again, the terminology of Mardi Gras is just cool. They've got their own words, as we talked about earlier in the show, but they've got their own menu of drinks, too. We've talked about the hurricane and the recipe there.
Hurricane.
But they've got this thing called Sazerac, S-A-Z-E-R-A-C, and this is one that... I've never heard of it until I started looking into what's happening in Cajun country. But to me, this kind of looks like what my dad used to call a highball. And that is, it's got a little bit of whiskey, a little bit of sugar, a little bit of bitters, and a twist of lemon. And then you put it all around a little bit of ice. And you just mix it up, maybe almost a little bit Manhattan, but Manhattan's usually made with bourbon. But this is just whiskey, bitters, sugar, and a little lemon twist. And they've got a thing in here that I don't even know what it is. It's called Herb Saint, H-E-R-B-S-A-I-N-T. But it's just a dash of it. So I bet you can make one of these things without it.
Not only that, but if you want to sample one by people who know what they're doing, there is a bar actually up just off of Plainfield and Leonard called Sazerac's, and it's one of the specialties on their menu.
Is it really?
Yeah, it was right around the corner from an old house. I used to have my own stool there. But yeah, you can go check that out. And I've had them. They're delicious year-round, but especially on Mardi Gras.
That's right. And they've got gin fizzes that they do. Everybody makes a Bloody Mary, but you got to get up in the morning. And sometimes after Mardi Gras, that's the fog cutter you need, is a good Bloody Mary.
I like that fog cutter. I'm going to steal that later.
Yeah.
Coming up, we got to tell you about Gilda's Club, their Laugh Fest. Also, speaking of all this Mardi Gras, I mean, we got to get you started right with Fat Tuesday, our sister station, WLAV, that old codger, Kevin Matthews. He's going to be having a party. You are invited, and we will tell you about it next on The Grillin' Guys.
The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.